This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm going to walk out of here a lean, mean, fighting machine.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
True or false, Stripes was shot in a dry county in Kentucky.
Somebody had to explain to Candy what a dry county was because he's from Canada. And so when I first told him, you can't buy alcohol in this county. And he goes, yeah, right. Here's not alcohol.
Today's guests, Yahoo Sports senior NBA reporter Vincent Goodwill, legendary broadcaster Bob Costas, actor Kurtwood Smith, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, it's that Thursday show here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're going to talk about the 70s show and the 90s show. Kurtwood Smith, who plays the dad on that show, he's in studio number three. We're going to go down another wormhole of celebrity true or false, just like yesterday with Judge Reinhold. That was a lot of fun. If you missed that, go to our YouTube channel right away. By right away, I mean after this three-hour show. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And we say hello to everybody out there who takes us in on a podcast through a podcast network or right now on the Roku channel or right now on this terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM and Odyssey. We say hello to everyone here on this Thursday in June, the final day of spring. We've got Bob Costas on this program to discuss what we're going to see tonight. In Alabama when the Giants and the Cardinals play a game in Rickwood Stadium. And remember, Willie Mays and Bob's going to join us in hour number two. And Trevor Lawrence has spoken today to the media about his big, huge contract. And we've got a lot of fun in store. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. Yesterday, we had a Panther fan call in and play the win-loss game and said the Panthers are going 11-6. That's gone viral. You never know when you're going to go viral if you call into this program or appear on it. And we greatly appreciate anybody who takes us in. Good to see you, Chris Brockman. How are you,
hey,
sir?
Hey, man. I'm great. What's up?
I already heard the laughter of Jason Feller. Good to see you, Jay Feller. How are you, buddy? Good to see you. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, good to see you, sir. What's going on?
How you doing?
What's going on over there?
Well, you know, in honor of Kurtwood Smith,
yes,
foreman from that 70s show, coming in the studio.
Yes.
I had to re-break out my prop from that 70s show. This is the TV that lived in the foreman's basement for the entirety of the series. And when the last episode ended, it was like they called cut and hundreds of people just went and mobbed and rushed the set. Steal whatever they could. And maybe not steal. I don't know if that's the right word. But anyway, I ended up with the TV
nice
from the basement.
Old five-finger discount, everybody.
Wow. It was kind of like a looting, but not really. I don't know.
It's getting worse.
Well, good to see you.
Stop talking.
Good to see you. Whatever it is, the statute of limitations is
done. Right. But it's here, and it's real, and it's spectacular.
Exactly right. And that 90s show is what Kurtwood Smith, who, by the way, was in RoboCop
and
Dead Poets Society. And it'll be a fun hour number three when we chat with him. And, you know, we're waiting for game six of the Stanley Cup final on Friday night.
I love how you get that right every time.
Well, I mean, hey, do this show long enough. We're coming up on 10 years this fall. You learn it's NBA Finals, plural, and Stanley Cup Finals, singular. I don't know why, but that's the way it works. So happy about all that. This is a conversation a lot of folks are having now that Willie Mays is passed on and referred to, rightfully so, as the greatest living player in baseball. And he is now passed on, and it caused us to sit here and wonder who now is the greatest living player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And and we were also sitting here wondering, since this is sort of like, you know, the Mount Rushmore period of the sports talk calendar year, which means, you know, coming up with stuff because there's no live sports other than baseball. And I guess now the WNBA is of great significance. Caitlin Clark with a 3-game win streak now for her. So, you know, I figured let's chop this up, and we'll ask Bob Costas later on. The greatest ball player alive today, who is that?
I have an idea.
Who do you got?
We don't have a list. I don't want to like say mine. And
go ahead.
Well, it's the guy I think who, look, with all due respect, was almost your father, Sandy Koufax.
Just because my mom was at one, like, probably sock hop at
mixer?
The same Brooklyn high school, you know.
It's the Rich Koufax show. We were this close, folks.
The underwater, the underwater, the sea dance.
Under
what
the
is
sea
it?
Dance.
You, right?
Enchantment under the sea.
Okay, whatever enchantment under the sea dance in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, they went to and probably stared at each other across a sock hop.
Look, like I said,
so
respectfully.
How dare you? No, it was disrespectful.
I don't mean no disrespect by that.
But I mean, Koufax, greatest baseball player.
I think it might be him now, right?
What about you, Chris?
Though the window for Sandy was smaller than it should have been.
Well, it's not just that, too. Can you name a pitcher as such? When you're talking about Willie Mays being a five-tool player.
I think
player.
When it's Sandy Koufax, you can.
Okay. What about you?
Oh, man, it's so tough. Griffey, Bonds, kind of the first two guys that jumped to mind for me.
You would name Bonds? Really?
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Did I read this wrong? Are we talking greatest living or oldest?
No.
Greatest living.
Oh, the oldest baseball player, the oldest Hall of Famer that is now alive. Or I should put it this way. The current oldest living Hall of Famer was Willie Mays. It's now Luis Aparicio,
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But we're talking about anybody who is currently alive. Gotcha. You could even name Shohei Ohtani as the best baseball player who's currently alive.
He's got a case.
Okay.
My bad. I was thinking like, who's the greatest? Who's
no, the
oldest,
greatest living baseball player.
Who?
And get ready, because we're also going to have to mention all the other sports.
I like this.
That's the way we're just going to start chopping up this program. Because, again, we'll ask Bob his opinion of this.
Is Uncle Bob still alive? Bob Feller?
No.
All right.
Brooks Robinson?
He just passed away.
He just passed away. Yeah.
I'll give you some.
Does Mike Schmidt get any run?
I don't believe he gets much run, no, but you can name him.
Michael Jack should get some run.
Very great player.
We'll obviously take phone calls on this as well at 844-204-RICH, number to dial throughout the program, if you wish. I'll give you one. How about Pete Rose?
Wow.
Why not?
Just because he was banned from baseball doesn't mean he's banned from
being great.
Or alive.
That too.
How about Peter Edward Rose as the greatest living baseball player right now?
It's a good one. It's a good one. Singles hitter.
Well,
I don't want to parse through Pete's career.
I know, but just the overall nature of it. Rod Carew is thankfully alive. My guy, Reggie Jackson,
Johnny
is alive.
Bench is still alive.
Good ones. Johnny Bench for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is now up for debate.
Yeah, there's good debate now.
There was no
debate for a long time.
When Willie Mays.
It was Willie and Hank, kind of, whichever one you preferred. And now both have unfortunately passed recently. And
also, Rich, you know, what you said about Willie Mays yesterday was so awesome to me. And I'm glad that, you know, we all have the opportunity to talk in front of these mics about people because, you know, Grant Hill called in on Friday with Jim Jackson and Jim hyped up Grant Hill and let people know how great Grant was. And we're at a point now where, like, kids are so young, they're trying to erase Michael Jordan from the history books. Like, he wasn't the greatest of all time. So I feel like guys like us, we have to be here to kind of trumpet these older players and let these younger kids know that if Willie Mays wasn't the greatest of all time, he's on a very short list of those who can claim it. So I just love the fact that we're able to kind of remind the younger kids who are watching that, like, there were some great, great, great athletes.
Well, in terms of, I say frequently now, and I said it again yesterday, that sports is a way to mark time.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, this is my last few days of being a 54-year-old. My birthday's on Monday. And I am now finding myself in a position of just being blown away at, I'm now that guy who's reminding younger people about people who played and were generationally brilliant when I was their age, and it's blowing me away, and it's freaking me out, to be straight up with you.
I understand that, and but in it's terms also of necessary, bro.
And in terms of Jordan, I would name him as the greatest living basketball player, with all due respect to Kareem and and anyone else that from the 70s and 80s.
I think that's your or 60s right there, Kareem and Mike.
I would say, or you got, you know, Bird and Magic, but I would say Michael Jordan is the greatest.
If we're gonna take high school, NBA college, player, and pros, and throw that all into one, I don't think there's any question it's Kareem. If we're just talking about professional,
then it's Mike.
I'm a Mike guy. But yeah, I mean, those are the two for me.
I think those are your candidates currently.
Baseball, so I'm still thinking of people.
Football, you have to have a conversation involving Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. It was Jim Brown who passed away.
Taylor recently. I mean, there's still people who argue he is, and Bill Belichick's probably one.
And Tom
He's
Brady,
the greatest of all time.
You have to throw Tom Brady.
Oh yeah, obviously
in the mix,
no doubt.
Those are, you know, those are some candidates for, you know, for football player. The wild, you know, the one that you have to basically just place aside is hockey, right? I mean,
his nickname is literally the great one. Yeah.
With all due respect to Mario Lemieux,
sure, right?
You have to give the with all due respect to Mario Lemieux, but
see, Mario's my guy for hockey.
There's no conversation,
right?
Although Connor McDavid's making a nice run. So
he's got to win four in a row, though.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, man, I just love the fact we're able to do this.
Sure.
Because, you know, I grew up, you know, at the foot of one of the great storytellers ever, my grandfather, and he would tell me about Jackie Robinson and Willie Mays and the Negro League players and Mickey Mantle and, you know, from a position of watching them. And now we're generations removed now, and, like, someone's got to keep these stories and these legends alive. And I'm glad we kind of get the chance to do that every
day. Hey, and that's well said and much appreciated and very nice of you to say, but time's up, sir. This is Sports Talk Radio, and it's now time to name your four greatest living ball players in each sport, or you want to go three, unless you want to say Lemieux instead of Gretzky.
No, I mean, I love Lemieux, but I understand it's
okay.
The great.
All right, so let's place it aside. And
unless is Gordie Howe still alive?
No, he is not.
Yeah, he did pass. Okay,
so you want to go, Chris?
Sure. I think it's obviously it's Gretzky, it's Brady, it's Mike, and it's Barry Bonds. I think we need to all be honest with ourselves. It's Barry Bonds.
Okay.
That guy was unbelievable. Well, I don't care what he put in his body.
Okay.
That guy was amazing. That guy hit a ball better than anyone I've ever seen.
Well, again,
I don't care what he put in his body.
Did it affect his eyesight?
No, but it may have affected how he hit a ball. I mean,
and guess what? He was one of the greats before that.
No, I understand how great he was.
I saw
just like McGuire was rail thin as a rookie, and just like Clemens was great as a Red Sox, and what he did in Boston up until his departure there, and then who knows what happened in Toronto and New York, he was Hall of Fame great as well. But like greatest current living player in Major League Baseball is Barry Bonds.
Guess what? He was pounding the guys who were doing it too.
Okay. What do you got for your list?
Rich, just to piggyback on Bonds, I saw a stat the other day that said if you took away his seven MVPs, if you took away all the stats from those seasons, Barry Bonds would still have 500 home runs and like 440 stolen bases if you take away his seven MVP seasons.
Okay.
I'm someone who, you know, I work security at Three Rivers. I got to walk Barry Bonds to his car after games. I mean, to me, it's him in baseball.
Well, I don't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories I'm holding
on. All right, but it's time.
Barry Bonds in baseball.
You would choose Barry Bonds?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I think he's the best baseball player I personally ever got to see. And like I said, I'll accept any pushback from anyone older than Bonds. But for him, it's me. I would say Jordan or Kareem again in basketball. Same thing. Football.
You got to choose one. I'm sorry.
I'll go with all time. I'll go Kareem.
Okay.
Like Chris said, high school.
The current living greatest player.
Kareem.
Okay.
As far as football goes, like we said, it was Jim Brown. Tom Brady's obviously the choice that comes to mind. But
yes.
I might go Lawrence Taylor.
Okay.
And, Wayne Gretzky in hockey.
All right. Well.
And Ric Flair in professional wrestling.
We got to go to break.
You know, I always got to throw that in there.
No, I'm just kidding.
How about
all right,
you, Richard Seth.
I'm going to go Jordan in basketball. Okay. I will go Jerry Rice in football.
Ooh.
And baseball, man.
It's so tough.
It's
baseball
so hard.
So hard. And there's really, I don't think, a
baseball,
wrong answer.
Baseball. I'm sorry. And again, I lived it, and I was part of the issue. Sitting on the SportsCenter set and just talking about this stuff with people who look like trapezoids as if it was normal. So I just cannot put anybody who's played in that era.
Even though they saved the game of baseball, right?
They may have done that, but that's, that wasn't their that wasn't the reason why they were playing. It was great that they did that because Bud Selig screwed it all up.
Imagine if we didn't
and
have
the
that
owner
summer.
Screwed it all up and all of that stuff. Just terrible. I'll do it. I'll go Pete Rose.
Yeah. Mm.
It's the way he played, man. Mm. And here I am saying, it's interesting that you
it's a kind of interesting.
Well, but when he was playing,
we assume that
nobody played harder. Nobody cared more about winning.
That's true.
I played in more winning games than anyone in MLB history.
I mean, that photograph, I'm glad you chose this one, Hoskins.
Look at that. That personifies
for the radio audience, he is sliding headfirst into home plate like he is flying.
Looks like Superman.
He's having a fun thought.
Well, he's thinking, I hope I land into somebody's nuts. That's probably what he's thinking.
Lifetime 300 hitter, three-time batting champ, MVP in 73, rookie of the year in 63.
And he definitely what Rich always likes to talk about, man. People who are red asses. I mean, you open up the dictionary, I think his picture might be in there.
You know, Reggie is up there too.
Absolutely.
But I'll go Pete. Sandy Koufax isn't a bad one either. That one is the one that's completely up for debate. Rod Carew.
True.
Thank goodness is alive.
Friend of the show.
Sandy Koufax's window was so small, but yet he was so dominant.
Oh, please.
So dominant in that short amount of time.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're open for business today.
I love it.
We didn't discuss yesterday because we went down tons of pop culture wormholes and talking to both Adam Thielen and Rashawn Gary and Mike Florio. We didn't talk about the fact that the Detroit Pistons won and done their head coach, Monty Williams,
right.
Getting one and done, and they're going to pay him $65 million
over 5 years.
Because they hired Trajan Langdon, former Dukie, mm-hmm. Who's now the president of their operations, and they hired a new front office, and they want to hire their own guy.
Brockman, did you and Trajan watch Iditarod races in Alaska together?
Trajan was my guy.
So let's talk about that with Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports, and he also had a vote for NBA Finals MVP, wondering who he voted for, if he's willing to share all that. Bob Costas, hour number two, hour three, the man who plays the dad, as you referred to it, you have his television right there, Red Foreman, on That 70 Show. Now, That 90s Show, part two, that premieres next week exclusively on Netflix. Kurtwood Smith is going to be here in studio in hour number three. And against my better angels, going to have Chris Brockman give you his powerless rankings.
Oh, we are going to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Way too early. Why are we doing this in June?
Powerless rankings.
Don't forget dumbass. You gotta throw dumbass.
You're going to rate the NFL teams 23 through 32.
The bottom of the NFL.
Which is appropriate for Red Foreman to be here, and it's dumbass because that was his thing to the kids. Yeah,
well, and with this being the list. And with this being the final day of spring, I've got a top five list. Top five wildest sports stories of the spring. And there were some wild ones. That's coming up.
Nice.
This is a Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk some hoops with the senior NBA reporter from Yahoo, Vincent Goodwill, when we return. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Back here on the Roku channel and the radio audience returns, that's when we'll welcome in Vincent Goodwill to talk some NBA with him. Chris, this is for you.
All right.
Saw this, entered my Twitter timeline, and you know there's some memes that happen, and they'll make you laugh. This one made me laugh. I don't know who did this, but somebody replaced Luca's beer Michael Finley took away from him with the Larry O'Brien trophy and then put a Celtics logo on Michael Finley and took it from him.
That's great. I mean, it was never his in the first place, but I like
where okay.
that was going. Okay. Here he goes. Here we go.
Yeah. Now I regret doing this.
What do you mean? So,
listen, man. This is not, you're not instilling confidence in me for the real estate you're going to have later on for your powerless rankings when you.
Oh, I'm going to crap all over 10 teams.
Okay.
It's totally fine.
This guy. Living his best life
right
now.
I'm a champ. I woke up a champ again only really the second time.
Yeah.
I wasn't alive for all the other ones.
I wonder if Vincent will know the backstory. Was that Luca's, was Finley taking it from him because he was worried about Luca's conditioning, or there's no reason to celebrate yet?
I think it was just...
Or is somebody else...
But Luca's dad was standing right next to him.
Who said it? Who is the one who said it that he might have been concerned about, you know, it's not a good look photograph? Who said that yesterday? Somebody said that yesterday?
I don't know, but I said that to start. It's optics. He just, you know, drink it in the back.
Jordan and those
no
guys
cameras.
Used to drink in the
No, I understand
in the last
that.
Dance. No,
it's different times. I don't know.
He also used to smoke stogies at halftime.
But Luca's European, man. He's been drinking since he was like 12.
I think you're probably factual. I'll take the under on that.
11?
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Let's talk some NBA now that we're 48 hours removed from Banner 18 in Boston, and the Detroit Pistons are just paying Monty Williams generational money to stop coaching them.
Crazy.
It is kind of crazy. But let's make heads or tails of it. Vincent Goodwill back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. Good to see you, Vincent. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you, Rich?
I am doing just fine. Like all those shoes behind you. Where is this your office? Is this your home office?
Yes. Yes, this is my home office. I am a sneakerhead, so
okay.
It works.
What size, Vincent? What size are those back there? Those shoes.
You trying to get me robbed?
No.
I'm a size 12.
I'm just
saying.
Do
you want me to give out my address?
No. So wait a minute. All those people on the wrong side of the law wearing size 12 are now trying to GPS your whereabouts, Vincent? Is that what you're concerned?
He's got heat on that wall, Rich.
I mean, I like the air raids. He's got the Griffies. Look at those.
I see a couple threes back there. You know, I'm a 13, Vincent. I'm good.
Rich, I live in Detroit. You are trying to make me a target here.
Hey, come on. I spent a great 5 days there, and it was very wonderful. And people were walking around in their own shoes, and it was outstanding.
You think they were their own shoes? It could have been Vince's.
It might have been.
At any rate, what's your now 2 days after the NBA Finals thoughts about what you witnessed between Boston and Dallas, Vincent?
Well, the Celtics, their social media staff came out with this video making fun of everybody who made wrong predictions. And you know who was on that video?
Yep.
This guy. So clearly, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about when I thought the Dallas Mavericks were going to be the team that came out on top. I will say this. There is a value to the regular season and everything we saw from the Celtics, from the net rating to the 64 wins, to just the sweat equity of losing. I feel like in this sort of microwave culture, we've forgotten about how much it hurts to lose and how much you learn from it. And the Celtics learn from losing. The Denver Nuggets learn from losing. The Golden State Warriors learn from losing. And, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis. So I feel like the lineage, we're getting back to that. And I think you saw the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Granted, it was the best possible matchup for them with two smaller guards and Luka and Kyrie, maybe not small in terms of Luka, but, you know, just being able to defend them. They didn't take a game off, really. Like, they got blasted in game four, but you're up 3-0. Like, I felt like the Celtics appreciated the opportunity that was in front of them. They learned from the mistakes of the past. And now, like, they're the ghosts. They're the boogeyman that everybody is going to be chasing. So I think it was a just final as far as five games and a just finish. I voted for Jaylen Brown as MVP, and I feel pretty good about that.
I would agree with you. I thought he was the most valuable player if you had to choose one. But that is also not what makes the Celtics special, that there's a big two or a big three and everyone else is kind of like role players behind them. You know, certainly if you consider, how do you call Jrue Holiday or Derek White role players, right? Technically, you know, who was a role player in the finals was Porzingis because of his injury. And that's wild to even have that concept. But that said, if I had to choose one, I would have chosen Brown. Why did you do that?
Well, I felt like when you look at the effect of the series, when I thought about the moments of the series, when the series was really in the balance, when I thought about game three in Dallas and Dallas is storming back with that 20-2 run. Jaylen Brown is the guy that took and made the big shots. He's the guy that defended Luka Doncic for the majority of the series, hounding him full court. You don't really see that anymore. Guys hounding someone full court, turning them around, and then also carrying a huge load on offense. That just takes a lot of bandwidth. And so for him to take on that responsibility openly and to not ask for help, of course, he got switched off a few times, but I felt like he was the catalyst in the moments that mattered in that series. I felt like it was pretty clear to me. I was surprised that it was a 7-4 vote. I understood it, but I felt like when you took on the bulk of the responsibility on both ends of the floor, it was a clear answer for me.
And I'm just sitting here wondering who's best equipped in the East to make sure this doesn't turn into a back-to-back or a dynastic run, right? I mean, Horford's coming back and, you know, Brown's not going anywhere. Obviously Tatum's not walking out that door and, you know, everybody else just appears to be in the fold and there's no, you know, disease of me or anything like that. I'm just wondering where you think, this goes in the East next year, Vincent.
Well, Rich, count me among the people that thought the Denver Nuggets were going to repeat because you saw the formula. You saw the MVP in the peak of his prime. You see a top five starting five. You know, you see all these young pieces. You see a coach. You see a hunger and a thirst to repeat. And they got knocked out in the second round. So anything can happen. with the Celtics, they have not only just the pain of losing, but like you said, they have all their key players locked up. Now, you're asking the question about Kristaps Porzingis and his long-term health and about Al Horford and his age. So with that, I would look at the Milwaukee Bucks because they have the next best player in Giannis Antetokounmpo, assuming health. He has missed significant playoff games the last 2 years. I don't believe in the Philadelphia 76ers, Rich, even though Joel Embiid won MVP last year, Tyrese Maxey emerged this year, and they have cap space. There's just something about the brew that doesn't make me believe quite in what they're doing. And honestly, everybody sees the New York Knicks, and they say, man, the Knicks, they got the cap space. They've got, you know, sort of this energy. But I'm very curious what Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart and all those heavy minute, heavy usage guys, I wonder what they're going to look like next year. Well, are you going to pay the bill for all the culture that you established this year? Next year, at some point, the bill is going to be paid. Like, do you remember, Rich? I'm a little younger than you.
Okay.
Do you remember the board game Operation?
Of course.
Where it was the patient on the table?
Yes, sir.
And, you, yeah, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Tom Thibodeau has a chunk of some athlete at every body part. He's got Derrick Rose's knees. Now he's claimed Julius Randle's shoulders. At some point, it's going to be somebody else's like rib cage or something like
yeah.
That's what it's going to be. I feel like every part has been claimed by Tom Thibodeau, and I wonder if the bill will be paid next season with some of these other players.
Yeah, like Jalen Brunson's breadbasket. Is that where you're going? Okay.
Something like that.
I was waiting to hear where you were going with that to see if you thought Thibodeau's nose lit up or anything like that. All right, I'm done with my operation references. What do you think the Knicks are going to do? Is there a big fish out there in free agency or that they can trade for? You know, are the Suns sort of strapped where they got to get rid of somebody or something like that, Vincent?
It is like dependent on what they do with OG Anunoby because he's a free agent, right? You have Paul George, who is an unrestricted free agent with the Clippers. And we've heard all this noise about teams who are lining up to sort of pitch to Paul George a maximum contract. And during this interim period, which started the night after the NBA Finals ended, the Clippers basically have the right of first refusal. They could say, you know what, Paul, we know you want a max. We don't want to give you a max, but we don't want to lose you to someone else. And they haven't given him that max contract yet. Maybe something could happen in the next couple of days and make this conversation totally obsolete. But if you're the Knicks and you're looking at the Celtics who have Tatum and Brown on the wings, you know you have to have guys who can score and guys who can defend. Not necessarily traditional positions, but guys who can match up with them. If you can throw out OG Anunoby and Paul George against those guys and have Jalen Brunson out there still being this, you know, higher usage point guard, maybe not as high usage as he was this year, but having Paul George as a guy out there as a safety valve, as a guy who can create his own shot. There's, of course, this CAA connection that people don't like to necessarily talk about in these rooms, but the CAA connection with the New York Knicks is absolutely real, and Paul George is represented by CAA. I don't have a problem with that, you know, subsequently, so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the rumors of Paul George to the New York Knicks, like it seems to make sense if the Knicks would be interested in him and if he would be interested in them.
I just don't know how Steve Ballmer lets Paul George walk when he's opening up his new dome about 5 miles from here. I just don't see that. I just see him wanting to get the best possible Clippers team and get everybody all excited to go to his new building. Certainly if the Lakers are potentially in flux, I've got Vincent Goodwill here on the Rich Eisen Show. What the heck happened with the Pistons and Monty Williams, Vincent? What happened?
Well, on Juneteenth, a black man got his freedom. That's the way I saw it yesterday. He got a $60 million check to go away.
Wow.
Rich, I know you can't say that, but I can. That's fine, right? I just think it was a bad fit. Realistically, it was a bad fit at a bad time. Like Monty Williams is a head coach for a veteran team. This was a young team that needed a younger coach and young patience, and they needed more guidance there. And although the talent wasn't up to par, like you have so many players under the age of 25, Cade Cunningham is the one bona fide player on that roster, it just didn't seem to fit. And when you have a 28-game losing streak that starts on the third game of the regular season and doesn't end until like late December or January, whenever it was like a national nightmare. Clearly, there was a disconnect between Monty in the front office and the front office with itself. Like I wrote for Yahoo Sports yesterday that there's four factions inside that Pistons building, which is not uncommon in NBA circles. It's just a matter of, can you all get on the same page? They clearly were not on the same page. The Pistons offered Monty Williams a boatload of money to come there after he said no. Now, Rich, you're married. I'm not. My mother told me, if you ask a woman on a date once and she says no, don't come back and ask her a second and a third time. She's going to say no again. The Pistons kept coming to Monty Williams with more and more money until he said yes. That should have been the sign for both parties that this was not going to be a fruitful marriage. But for Monty Williams, you probably have coaches around the league telling him, you got to take this job because it benefits the rest of us. You saw after Monty signed that deal, Popovich got a big deal. Ty Lue got a big deal. Steve Kerr got a big deal. All these coaches benefited from the Monty Williams stimulus package. So it was almost like he had to take the deal, except it didn't seem like his heart was all the way in it. I didn't think he was a good coach this year for this type of team. I still think he is a good coach. He was just a good coach who had a bad year at the worst possible time. And good on Pistons ownership, Tom Gores, to say, you know what? I made a very expensive mistake. I'm not going to tether my new Pistons president with a $60 million coach that he may not want. I'll cut the check and we can start fresh.
It's just wild to see how that played out. And I'm wondering, you know, with the Lakers having a job opening, and I understand J.J. Redick's name is as top of the list again after the Dan Hurley dalliance wound up with a no from him. Could that affect? Because, I mean, you want to talk about a veteran team. How does LeBron and Anthony Davis at the top of the flow chart sound, right?
Anthony Davis and Monty Williams have a history going back to New Orleans when Monty was the coach there and they had a strong relationship. The problem here is you got to ask Monty Williams, do you want to coach? Like, this leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Like, by all reports and all accounts, he was blindsided by this yesterday. So although it's easy for us to turn the page and to wash experiences down, I feel like for him, remember last year, he planned on taking a year off after the Phoenix Suns situation. His wife was dealing with a real serious health situation, and the Pistons came in and offered him not just a lot of money, but a lot of access to things so he can go back and forth if she needed treatment. So I'm wondering if Monty has the stomach and the bandwidth to want to coach and just run hastily into another situation. And then that's a high pressure, high stress situation where a 2-game losing streak means that you're the topic, you know, A block for like the next 2 days. Yeah. I don't know if he has the stomach for that right now compared to maybe you go sit out a year, you recalibrate, you figure out some things, and you see these coaching things. This thing turns over. And plus, he's got $65 million in his back pocket. He don't have to work again if he don't feel like it.
No, I understand that. I hear you. And if the Lakers' MO is that they don't pay coaches Pop money, Spoelstra money, I mean, this would kind of help offset. You know, he's getting his money from the Pistons, and he'll just kind of take a contract with the Lakers for a hometown discount, and they're a married couple, to use the phrase that you used before. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing it out there because this whole Lakers coaching search, I'm searching for the answer, and it's got to come because the draft is next week.
It's a little weird, isn't it? It's a little weird. The whole Dan Hurley thing seemed to pop up at the last second, and it seemed very public and all of that type of stuff. And meanwhile, you have J.J. Redick, you know, at the NBA Finals sort of sitting. So is J.J. thinking that he's the second choice? And here's the other question that I have for you guys. Is this Lakers job a good job? You have LeBron James, who was going to turn 40 years old in December. And 40-year-olds don't get better at this. They get worse and they get hurt. And we've seen LeBron have injury problems over the last couple of years. Like, you have the Bronny James thing hanging over the Lakers' head. Are they going to take him? You got Anthony Davis, who's probably playing the best possible basketball that he's going to play. But if that's the case and you couldn't get out of the first round, how good are you going to be? How good is this job? I just feel like there's a lot of lack of clarity, rather, about the Lakers' future, especially if they don't wind up getting a third star to supplement LeBron and AD. You know, you look at this Western Conference, man, it is a gauntlet. We talked about the East being, you know, a little cloudy. The West has all the powers. Oklahoma City is going to get better. We assume Minnesota is going to get better. Dallas isn't going anywhere. Denver's going to be back. So you have to ask yourself, if you come into the Lakers organization as the pressure cooker, where's the upside? Because I don't see a whole lot of it.
Vincent, appreciate the time here, and I hope I didn't again spotlight something on your wall that you didn't want spotlighted to the scene, to the detail down to the size. I saw a sign over your right shoulder as well that's in your background. You want to explain to me what that is, Vincent, please?
It's a score, Rich. It says 117-74. That is not the score of the last game of the NBA Finals, believe it or not. It just felt like it was.
Yes.
That was the score of Michigan-Ohio State since Ryan Day said that they were going to hang 100 on Michigan.
Ah.
Since then, Michigan is 3-0 against Ohio State. Some victories at the shoe, a national championship. So, yeah, it's a new day, as we like to say.
Yes, so you're saying the last three Michigan-Ohio State contests have a combined score of Michigan 117, the Ohio State University 74. That's what you're saying to me, Vincent?
If my math is correct.
Well, you know what? I don't care if it is correct. I just appreciate the head nod in my direction when and your kindness to take my call today. And I appreciate it, Vincent.
Rich, can I ask
you? I appreciate you. Sure. I'm petty. I'm a petty Michigan fan.
Good for you.
So
me too.
After two decades, I'm flexing.
Yeah, you know, and I'm trying to listen for that sound. Yeah, I don't hear anything back. You want to say something, TJ, before
you? Quick question for you, Vince. How you doing, bro? I'm talking about JJ Redick, right? And first of all, I want to flex on you a little bit too. You know, I got those wearing those threes today. You know, light work. Question being about JJ, right? People talking about taking the Lakers job. And I was just thinking this morning, if coaching is something that he wanted to get into, how do you feel that Pistons job will look to him? Because it's a bad team, obviously, but they're young. A lot of young cats on there that he can mold.
The Dookie hires a Dookie.
Well, instead of, you know, going with the vets who, you know, JJ, maybe the way his teachings might kind of rub some vets off. But now you got these young cats out there, right? They're very impressionable, and he can really get in there and kind of work with them and teach them and mold them. Do you think that is something that could be in the cards? It's just something that popped into my head this morning, but...
What do you think?
You're a very smart man. I'll just say that. Like, I think JJ was also represented by Arne Tellem, who is the Pistons vice chairman. Arne is a big fan of JJ. And there's, of course, this Duke connection. Mm-hmm. New Orleans was the place that JJ and Pistons president Trajan Langdon spent a year together. And if JJ's an acquired taste, maybe Trajan is one of those guys who can absorb him. The question I would have in that spot is, if you're new to coaching as a whole, and you have a team that's going to experience its third coach in 3 years, is that where you want to be? Is that where this team wants to be? Do you want that coach to have a little more practical experience? Now, Rich, I'll say this, y'all. I have no idea who the hell is a good coach or who isn't until they actually go out there. Like, this is not one of those situations where we can look and say, oh, if you just move 12 inches to the left, you will be a good coach because you're X's and O's. We don't know anything until I'm going to be willing to fall on the sword and admit, we don't know good coaches until good coaches show who they are.
Interesting, Vincent. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Vincent Goodwill right here on the Rich Eisen Show from Yahoo Sports. And here I am asking, you know, the Monty Williams firing, how does that affect the Lakers coaching search? Because Monty's now available. Mm-hmm. You're saying that might affect the Lakers coaching search because J.J. Redick could be an option for Detroit.
And I don't even know. But no, I know that, but there's just a thought.
Well, and you just pointed out the connective tissue right there. Let's take a break and then we'll come back. We'll discuss that in 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's an interesting question. Pistons job or Lakers job, which is better? I do have an opinion on it. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
Pending home sales numbers, they tanked in April, but there
are two. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
High-octane action in the dust, a new film puts...
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Amazon.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Here is the connection.
Yes, Bob.
Between me and J.B. Smoove. It involves the cult classic,
yeah.
Pootie Tang. J.B. Smoove is in Pootie Tang.
Yes.
And it goes without saying,
yeah,
that without me, Pootie Tang is nothing.
There's not. You put the Tang in Pootie Tang.
I did.
I bet.
I did, just like the astronauts.
Hey, what's going on?
J.B. J.B. Smoove.
Hey, I'm back there.
You're mad.
No, I'm back there. He was trash talking me, man. I mean,
I wasn't trash talking you.
I look up to you, man.
I was talking you up.
No, I look up to you while I'm looking down at you.
Anyone who looks up to me is a person I admire.
Do you have any good from set stories of Pootie Tang?
You know, we were never on the set together.
Always.
Yeah.
There's some great stories of Pootie Tang. Any man who can fight with a belt.
Right.
How do you not have great stories? The man had a ponytail and a belt,
yeah,
and had his own language. How do you not build a movie,
right,
on that platform and have success? You know, it's a cult classic. People sit in their basement smoking the funny stuff while they,
yeah,
watch it.
Yeah, and you don't even need the funny stuff.
No, you don't.
Although it helps.
It does help. It's a great movie.
To be reunited,
yes,
with J.B. Smoove.
My brother, we are back.
My man.
We are back.
By the way, Bob said Pootie Tang 5 times during that interview.
And that's 22 fewer times than Marshawn Lynch,
yes,
said he was there to be fined.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign your pity on a runny kind, brother. If you want to try to stop me, I got to say the Nano.
I mean, that's the Nano.
What is happening right now?
Oh, man. Bob Costas, his latest appearance is just 10 minutes away. I don't think we'll be discussing that film. Just going out on a limb and saying that. Game Time Tickets. Get that mobile app on your phone or any device near you right now and start buying tickets to shows and theaters, concerts, whatever you want to go check out with you, your family, or a friend, a sweetheart, a date, whatever you'd like to do. Bottom line is it takes the guesswork out of buying tickets to anything. Baseball tickets in particular. The view from your seat function where you can see where your seat is in relation to the diamond, first base, third base, pitcher's mound. It's awesome. You get to see the entire price of your ticket, the all-in pricing feature before you hit the purchase button. And the prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. So take the guesswork out of buying baseball tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. It's kind of crazy. You're sitting here wondering what's a better job that's open. Cavs job is still open right now. Pistons, Cavs, Lakers. Which would you choose? I know what I would choose.
I know what Joakim Noah would choose.
Cavs.
Not the Cleveland.
You choose the Cavs?
Yeah.
Am I keeping Donovan Mitchell?
Hey, listen, I don't know. Pistons gig, man. You got a lot of young players.
That's true.
And an owner that's willing to cut you a $65 million check to go away.
Right.
If it doesn't work out.
I mean,
you know, although that does give you an implication of some instability.
Right.
I don't know, man. I keep coming back to this fact.
What's that?
The Lakers coach is a one-of-one gig. It really is.
I mean, that's it, right?
Well, not recently.
No, it's always going to be one. It's always going to be
like
one.
It's like being the coach, the manager of the Yankees, coach of the
Cowboys. It really is. And you could sit here and say, yeah, but the brand is tarnished because they haven't done very much and their one championship. in recent days was the COVID year.
No, they've been cycling through coaches since Phil left.
No, I know that.
Yeah, but think about that, Chris. If you're the one who makes it, I can't even say make it hit because Vogel won the title and got fired.
But it's not just right. But it's not just them. Think about it. The 2022 NBA Coach of the Year in a runaway vote has now been fired twice since winning that award.
Yeah.
And is it his fault that he's been fired twice? No. There was an ownership change in Phoenix.
Right.
And then a front office change in Detroit. And how's that Monty Williams' fault? And that's the whole point, too. Vincent Goodwill's like, you know, it's a high-pressure job at that. Every coaching gig in the NBA is a high-pressure job. Yeah, every last one of them.
True.
Certainly in this day and age where there's shows like this one and shows like the ones that I'm looking on all the, you know, sports mix screens here in front of me. And honestly, but there's only one where you win. You won a Lakers gig. The Celtics are the same damn thing.
But also, guys, you know, yesterday I was taking a walk on Venice Beach with a friend of mine, Eric, who just moved here from the East Coast, literally, like Jersey. And he was amazed at the ocean and the beach and everything. I'm like, man, like if you can come out here and you can make it for yourself.
That's a big if, bro.
Like, there's nowhere I'd rather be.
That's a big if.
It's a big if. But
the Lakers will pay you a living wage.
A living wage.
You know, that where half of it goes to the feds in the state. You know, but
that's the problem.
That is the ultimate. And I know LeBron might be moving on and Anthony Davis this and the roster that, but I think if the Lakers offered Dan Hurley more cash, he'd be here right now. What do I know, though? I mean, that's just my own belief.
Here's
that if you offer enough.
Seems like
but
he
it's
made
not
it
just seem, about money. Yeah. It made a decision outside of money.
But he made it seem like there was a price. And it was not met.
Well, I mean, it did appear to be that. I just think, again, being the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers is a one-of-one job. The thing is, the Lakers have not offered that job to somebody who's kind of one-of-one since, you know, Phil, with the exception of Dan Hurley.
Yeah, you run down the list of coaches. It's Mike Brown. It's Mike D'Antoni. It's Byron Scott, Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, Darvin Ham.
Here's a question I
posed. No name just jumps off the page at you.
Rich, here's a question I posed last week. I think you were out. I think Jimmy Jackson was there. Do you think that this was kind of like a smokescreen by the Lakers, knowing they wanted Redick?
No.
But they wanted to like make it seem like
apparently Woj said that they were after him for some time. If there's anybody.
Yeah, but they really lowballed him with the deal, though.
If there's anybody that's been accused of a smokescreen, it's Dan Hurley.
Really? Okay.
You know, who, if I'm not mistaken, the individual the who Lakers. Wrote the book, who wrote the book on his dad, literally was Woj.
Yeah,
a lot of people are drawing that connection. Maybe Hurley's looking for more money in UConn. I don't know, but I don't understand why they need any leverage play. Hour two is coming up when you're the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, Dan Hurley has every reason to tell them no, and he did, from the fact that Los Angeles isn't the East Coast. Los Angeles also, you know, has a much iffier situation than his current situation. Los Angeles can't offer him the opportunity to join John Wooden in a category that's one of one.
True.
So I don't know if leverage play means anything. That it got out. I don't know how it got out to Woj. And a lot of people were drawing the parallel from Hurley to Woj, whether that's fair or not. But the bottom line is the Lakers' job is still the Lakers' job. And if you're a head coach, you can fix anybody. If you're a coach, you feel that your powers are so damn special and good, you can fix anybody. You know, and in terms of J.J. Redick being the second choice, that can be wiped away right away by LeBron saying, you are my first choice. I'm just a worker bee here. I'm just a caveman, unfrozen caveman lawyer, you know? So
LeBron's more like the queen bee, though.
No, which is again another reason why you have an opportunity to coach him. How do you say no to that? I know Dan Hurley did. That's why I don't know. I know a lot of people are carping on the Lakers job, but they're still the L.A. Lakers, man. And this is still Los Angeles, California. Bob Costas coming up.
Every story eventually comes to an end. This June, hear the final episode of Season 2 of the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, Durham. In the Red Clay tells the unbelievable true story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history. In the podcast that people are calling riveting, incredibly moving, captivating, and addicting. Binge Seasons 1 and 2 of In the Red Clay now, wherever you listen.